WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The National Hurricane Center is warning catastrophic winds from a Category 5 Hurricane Melissa have begun to move onshore in southern Jamaica. CBS's Jason Allen is there.
How much of those strong bands immediately around the center of the storm roll into Kingston, and how much of that rain really falls in the mountains? That's what we'll be watching for over the next several hours.
The hurricane is already blamed for 3 deaths on the island. Defense Secretary Hegseth says the U.S. military has carried out 3 strikes on suspected drug boats in the eastern Pacific. He says 14 people were killed, 1 survived. It's the first time multiple strikes have been announced in a single day. President Trump signed a trade agreement with Japan's new prime minister in Tokyo today.
Born out of the ashes of a terrible war, our bond has grown over 8 decades into the beautiful friendship that we have. It's a foundation of peace and security in the Pacific.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
From Eau Claire City Hall to Madison, stay informed with Civic Media's Radio Network's news team. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection is reminding farmers to check runoff risk advisory forecasts before spreading manure on their fields. According to a press release, the agency has an online tool to warn farmers when weather conditions and soil temperatures increase the chance of manure spills. The agency is also reminding farmers that all agriculture and livestock operations must report spills or runoff that could potentially impact surface or groundwater, which can be done through a 24-hour emergency spills hotline. Attorney General Josh Call says Wisconsin has joined a multi-state coalition in sending a letter to the U.S. Department of Agriculture requesting guidance amid a lapse in SNAP funding due to the federal government shutdown. The letter seeks information on alternate funding sources for the food assistance program and warns that even a temporary delay would have a significant impact on millions of Americans. A letter from the USDA earlier this month advised state agencies that there would be insufficient funds to pay full November SNAP benefits for 42 million people. The Northwest Wisconsin Grazers Network and a handful of partner organizations are inviting residents to their annual fall grazing conference this weekend. The conference will be held at the Shell Lake Community Center on Saturday from 8 a.m. to around 4 p.m. Attendees will have a chance to check out new agency and commercial exhibits and network with other grazers to discuss new ways to improve their own operations. Residents interested in attending the conference must register by Wednesday, which can be done on the organization's website. The city of Eau Claire is reminding residents that alternate side parking rules will go into effect beginning this weekend. As of midnight on Saturday, residents will only be allowed to park on the side of the street with even-numbered addresses on even-numbered days and odd-numbered addresses on odd-numbered days. The alternate side parking rules will be enforced from midnight to 7 a.m. and violations will result in a $30 citation. The alternate side parking rules will be in place until May 1st and are meant to help clear snow from roads faster during the winter. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
Badgers basketball in the spotlight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, college hoops. The Badgers men's basketball team getting ready to host Campbell University out of North Carolina next Monday night at the Kohl Center. Wisconsin ranked 24th in the nation. Head coach Greg Gard, are the Badgers getting some national attention at the start?
Well, I think it's always been on the national radar. Whether you're ranked or not varies from year to year and varies within the year. I think this program is very well respected nationally. I think it's been extremely stable and extremely consistent over the last 25 plus years. So whether you get ranked right away, how high you get ranked, really that's irrelevant. You still have to go play the games.
Baseball game 4 of the World Series continues tonight in LA. The Dodgers winning last night over the Blue Jays 6-5 in a game that lasted 18 innings. Freddie Freeman with a walk-off home run. The Dodgers' Shohei Ohtani getting on base 9 times, a postseason record with 2 home runs. With sports, on Mike Clemens.
Know what's happening in your community, across Wisconsin, and around the nation, all right here on WCFW.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A cloudy to mostly cloudy sky on tap for your Tuesday afternoon. An east to southeast breeze, highs in the mid-50s. Tonight, there will be some rain chances. Then we'll see clouds around the area, lows in the upper 30s. Those clouds clear out early Wednesday in mid-50s. It's 42 at our studios.
Weather is sponsored by Peck Roofing, Inc., veteran and locally owned and operated. Learn more online at peckroofinginc.com.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network, because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show. Heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I was stuck in a state of panic and endless rituals, so I made the call.
Mental health care works when you make the call. Visit mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Maggie Dawn.
At 5 o'clock, I talk with Chicago attorney Robert Held, who is among the protesters who were detained for protesting outside the ICE facility in Broadview. We discuss his 8 hours in custody.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our home at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up for the last half an hour of the show, we will lighten it up with a segment that we call Audio Sorbet, where we get away from the news, talk about lighter, sillier things so we don't all crack up. Today we're going to talk about, what did you like as a kid and now as an adult you like something else? Or what did you hate as a kid and now as an adult you like it? This springs from today's National Chocolate Day, and we started talking about milk chocolate versus dark chocolate, and I very much feel there is a generational gap there.
Get ready for a walker or a fist to come out the skies, because I feel like a gripe is coming.
And then we'll wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. We are doing Halloween themed tisbets this week. Today it is the Dirty Dancing edition, so stay tuned for that. Right now, we are delighted to be joined by Corrine Hendrickson. She is the co-founder of Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed. Good morning, Corrine. It's good to see you. How are you?
Good morning. I am well. And a follow-up from the last time, I still haven't gone major grocery shopping, FYI.
You haven't?
You haven't gone?
Nope. So I've
gone
to get like the basics, but I haven't had to actually go shopping still since the last time I was on.
Wow. You've been stocking up well then.
Is it an underground bunker with like 7 years of soups?
Not quite 7 years.
Well, I applaud that kind of discipline.
Preparation.
Yeah. Yes,
that kind of prep. Absolutely. Well, there is something going on in Madison tonight. We've been talking a lot about childcare, and it just seems like with everything else that's going on in the world, that's one of those things that has fallen on the list of priorities. This is still a big issue in Wisconsin and across the country with people struggling to afford childcare or even find childcare. Because like you had to close yours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, definitely. And also with everything that's coming down, a lot of people that work in childcare, the educators themselves, rely on food stamps. We rely on the Affordable Care Act. And so also part of the work I do with Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed is we're in contact constantly with providers across the state. And almost every group center has at least one or more employees that they might lose because they won't have access to health care anymore, or that they're worried about not being able to feed their own children and their own families next month when the food stamps don't come through. And so this all still is impacting. And then the families that we're providing the care for, they're the ones not accessing it. So we're trying to find resources for them and connect them and get them, you know, food pantry. Do a lot of programs are doing things on their own to try and like become a hub. And so back to childcare is so important. It's a foundational community, you know, place for people to get access to programs and to have access to those other things.
I think it's really, really important that we repeat what you just said. Because there is this trope, and again, I see this on social media, some of the things that I follow. Everybody who gets SNAP is a lazy moocher who has never worked, and they're living high on the hog, apparently having filet mignon and lobster all the time. And there are plenty of working people who use both SNAP and are also on the ACA. There are a lot of farmers who are on the ACA.
Absolutely. And when you make $13.66 on average as a child care educator, you're qualifying. Full stop. Family child care is $7.42 an hour. Most qualify. And unless they have a spouse, that makes enough. That's what they're accessing. Or they're under 26 because they can still be on their parents. Sorry, my dog's barking.
Your dog is very upset about this too.
Yes, your dog is not happy. You
He's
tell
never
him.
Done that before. Yeah, so...
She's gonna go.
Okay, all right, cool. I mean, and that was exactly, Jane, what I was going to say too, is that there has been a push from the right to demonize and vilify anyone who takes a benefit by just saying they are lazy, they don't deserve it, it's fraud, they're moochers. And really, when it comes down to it, is these are benefits that are available to many people. And these benefits know no region. They know definitely how much you make a year. But these affect small business owners, farmers, everyone that politicians like to hold up on a pedestal and say they're the backbone of our country. Yeah. Well, the backbone also needs help. And when you vilify the programs and then threaten to and or cut them, the backbone is going to get cut out as well. And so. We're not seeing viable solutions, and that's something we're going to talk about a little later as far as funding, but that you saw with childcare funding in the budget. But it's the narratives that are being pushed that force people to one side of the aisle or the other, and that is the frustrating thing, because talking to Will Westmoreland, who's a farmer in Missouri, he's like, I need the ACA. The childcare industry needs this funding.
People who work at Walmart need the ACA and food stamps.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Absolutely. So tonight, we'll segue nicely.
There you go.
Well done.
So tonight we're going to be presenting the National Association for Family Child Care created a documentary last summer, and I'm one of the four providers, talking about the importance of child care, what we do for the community, how we care for and educate the next generation, but also partner with parents. And so we're presenting that, but then also talking about the Danish model, because in Finland, in the 50s or 60s, they put it together. It's very comprehensive. The provider gets paid X amount of dollars to take care of three children in their home, and the government pays off the top 30% of the bills for the house and everything like that. So that's kind of their operational cost,
okay,
you might say. But then also they get together once a week, and then because they're contracted with the state, not the parents, if a provider is sick or has to go to an appointment, the other providers in the area will pick up those kids if they have space. Because you're not dealing with different parents and contracts and dollars. It's just, this is part of the service. And then those providers get together once a week. So the kids all know each other and they meet in a community hub. And so tonight we're going to talk about what if, and wouldn't it be great? The other thing is, it's not punitive. So if a parent is running late, they don't get in trouble from their licensor for not being closed on time, operating out of their hours. No, the provider calls their licensor. The licensor calls the parent and the parent's employer and says, why aren't they here? And so they're the ones holding it accountable, because it's not our fault, the child care program, sure. If the parent doesn't show up, it's like, you don't know,
right?
You don't know. And so they really work as partnership in tandem and respect the child care professionals for what they do. And so we're going to talk about how we could maybe make that happen here in the United States as part of a comprehensive universal system.
This meeting is happening tonight from 6 to 7:30 at 1418 Van Hise at UW-Madison. It's free. Do people have to sign up, yeah. Corrine, or can they just show up?
Nope, they absolutely can just show up.
Great.
And I put in the show notes the We Can Facebook page as well. So people can go to that Facebook page. They can see the information on it and just follow the group and talk about, or and find out what you all are talking about, because this is just for WeCan is just one facet of what you all do with the organization. And really quick, for people who don't know, can you give us a brief history of the creation of WeCan? Because here's the thing, folks, what you need to know about Corrine is that she does everything all the time, almost all at once. She's never not doing something. So the fact that, like, you wear all these hats is no surprise to me. But this is an important organization you've been a part of. Can you tell us about the roots?
Yeah, so in 2020, my colleague and co-founder, Brooke Legler, she owns a group center here in New Glarus. We got together after presenting No Small Matter at the Capitol with Senator Erpenbach, and we had started doing those presentations across the state. So we started with a group of people already. We had a network that we kind of were working on, and then COVID hit. And then everybody was looking to us as a trusted resource because our Department of Children and Families did not have a mailing list of all of us to get a hold of. It was a really weird, like a few of us knew things. And so we would try and disseminate that information between us, WECA, SFTA, and other supports. Our licensors didn't even have all our emails. So that's all been, it's changed, it's better. But we created because the schools were getting all of these resources and they weren't even open. And we had the kids and we weren't getting the resources. The school got shipped the PPE, we did not. And so we worked with the department and pushed back and said, hey. And so then they ended up partnering us with the schools. Most of us, the school said yes. And then we went to the school to pick up the things to take back. We worked, basically started as advocacy between child care professionals. We expanded then as COVID continued and funding started coming, we expanded to include parents. We expanded to include other business owners and employers and community members because they all started to realize what it is that childcare does for everyone. And so our group went from a couple hundred people on a mailing list. Luckily at the time, everything online was like, we learned Zoom, we learned YouTube,
right.
You know, as
right.
We went. Yeah. And it really helped us bring people together from across the state, especially in the rural area. Most of our 2,000-ish members are from the rural area because they are more isolated, have fewer resources, don't have those connections with other providers like you do in the Dane County and Milwaukee County, because there's just more of them to
sure.
do that with.
Sure.
And so we're very, very rural, and we educate people on the political process. We educate people on what's out there. The biggest thing we do, though, is help people understand it doesn't have to be this way. It could be different. And our culture as a society, lower you make, the lower you're worth. Mm. And so really building up people, parents and others and providers, that we are valuable and we deserve to be listened to. And so that's kind of what we've been doing.
And I think that's something that you just brought up now that we've been talking about for a long time, as far as protecting and making sure those folks in the rural areas are looked after, helped, given resources, connection. If you're just joining us, by the way, I'm Matt Naranera. We're speaking to Corrine Hendrickson, who's the co-founder of Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed, also known as WeCan. And there's going to be an event tonight in Madison talking about child care approaches that will be in the show notes. Because, Corrine, that's something it seems like every decision that's being made coming out of Washington and or Madison is about how the rural areas are going to be hit and hurt by it. So it's groups like yours that really come together and say, if they're not going to protect us, we got to protect us too. Because whether it's closure of hospitals, closure of schools, and no access and I want to say this, early development child care, because that's what you did and that's what you do. That's the industry. It's not daycare.
No.
Daycare is great. Don't get me wrong.
But it's a different thing.
But this is school. This is education. This is getting your kids ready for life. And when rural folks don't have access to it, they don't know where to turn to. Thankfully, you and other people have resources available.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's our goal, is to help educate and empower people. And not only do we care for and educate the children, but we're partnering with those parents. Those parents, 99% have never held a baby, I swear, these days, because the families are smaller and they just haven't had. My own husband never held a baby until almost when ours was born. I had a cousin born. Yes, I'm that much older than my youngest cousin. And he was, held the first baby of his life in his mid-20s. I'm like, what is this?
Did he hold the baby out like this? Like, I don't know what to do with it.
Hold it like a football.
He kind of did. It was very sweaty.
Oh, that's cute. I know.
It's
so cute.
It is. But that's part of it, is we're partnering with parents and we're a resource. So when they need diapers, we know where to go.
Yeah.
When they have a question about child development, we can assure them, yes, your child's doing great. Or, ooh, we've noticed that too. This is what we should do next. And when you don't have that and parents feel isolated, that's when scary, sad things happen. And also just that isolation, the mental health, all of those types of things. And so that's part of what we do, is we also try to provide resources for people, trainings on special education, and we're very member driven.
We're going to continue our conversation with Corrine Hendrickson of We Can. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the vast statewide, countrywide. You can pick us up around the globe on the Civic Media Radio Network. We will be right back.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
We were in the bottom 10 states for creating jobs and for entrepreneurial activity.
Is Representative Tom Tiffany right? Does Wisconsin rank among the bottom 10 states in job creation and entrepreneurship? Yes, although not in every business climate ranking. National Business Capital, a business lender, ranked Wisconsin 42nd for starting a business. Well, Simplify LLC, a publication serving startups, ranked it 43rd. But Wallet Hub and U.S. News ranked Wisconsin's business climate in the mid-30s. And CNBC and a poll of CEOs both ranked it 21st. From 2018 to 2025, Wisconsin added 63,300 jobs, ranking 40th nationally, according to the Federal Reserve Bank of Philadelphia. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
When severe weather hits and the power goes out, do you have a plan? For reliable power and peace of mind, propane can do that. It only takes about 10 seconds for a propane-powered generator to restore power to your home. So no matter what Mother Nature has in store, you know you're prepared. Learn more at WIPGA.org. This message is sponsored by your local propane provider and the Wisconsin Propane Education and Research Council.
Good news! You get an extra hour this weekend. Daylight saving time ends, so remember to turn your clocks back 1 hour before you go to bed Saturday night. Fall back, sleep in, and start your Sunday refreshed. A message from your local Civic Media radio station.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Sweet Galby on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Our guest is Corrine Hendrickson, the co-founder of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed. And we're talking about a couple of meetings that you can attend. But before we get to that, we want to do some clarification. You were talking about the Danish model. It was actually called something else, Corrine, right?
Yeah, so I have said Finland. I meant Denmark.
Okay.
So that's
cleared up. My question is, what do they see as the value of these programs in Denmark that we're missing here?
So what we're missing here is the fact that children are respected and honored, and actually not just political pawns. They actually put the programs into place, and families. So they have robust paid family medical leave. They have robust paid leave, you know, throughout a person's life. And they also have higher minimum wages and just quality of life in general. And so it's the values of that, of the Scandinavian countries that are really coming through. And Wisconsin does have a lot of those roots. Like, we had the very first four-year-old kindergarten because we have the German Scandinavian, you know, roots in our, in our country and our culture. And so that is still here. And that's our sense of community. And that's why we pull together so often as needed and necessary, but you can't do that to fill in all the gaps when our government is refusing to do their part.
Well, and it just kills me when I hear J.D. Vance and Dr. Oz talking about how the USA is under-babied and we need more babies, and why aren't women having 6 and 8 children? Because it's expensive and they need things like childcare.
Yeah, well, and even the health insurance. If you don't have health, if you have, you know, your health insurance, you're spending $20,000 to $50,000 to have the baby.
It just seems like we were talking about this in the commercial when we were discussing the Finland versus Danish versus all those countries, and those, all of those nations over there, and that is Scandinavia, all those, they have a basic idea that the investment on their people will yield results for the country, the economy
as a whole.
And also another thing too, morale of the people. One of the things that people other in other countries enjoy, and don't get at me saying the healthcare is broken. There's a discussion to be had, but people feel safe knowing that they're not going to have to go bankrupt getting childcare or healthcare, and that provides a sense of high morale as well as pride in your country. So I think looking at these options for what you're doing tonight in Madison, Corinne, is definitely a good start to a conversation about what can be done to change things for the better, especially for our kids who apparently are important to us. We've been told by politicians they're important, but
we love babies.
We love babies, but once they're born, I don't have time for them. Boogh.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, so tonight we're going to need to be starting the conversation about what could be. Tomorrow there is an event in Greenfield, Wisconsin, where, and it's a public forum because SB 322 was introduced for $480 million direct payments to continue child care counts when Senator Mark Lyon and Representative Bourne took child care counts out of the budget. And so the week of action that you guys covered, that we were up at the Capitol, that's what came out of it. But that bill has been sitting in the committee since then. And so Senator Carpenter is actually on that committee. And so Senator Larson, sorry, is on the committee, and Senator Carpenter lives over there. And so they've agreed to hold a public forum where we have the opportunity to come in and state why this is so important to have this funding come through. And that's what we're going to be talking about. So this funding is a down payment. It is not the solution. It is to keep programs going, to raise wages a little bit, to help with some of that tuition coming down. But we actually also want to look towards an employer contribution. I saw a lot of comments that employers should be paying. Well, what employers can pay? You know, which ones?
Right.
Your small businesses can't. Your farmers can't.
Right.
Your nonprofits can't.
Right.
Your government entity, well, that's the taxpayers, right? So we're looking at what Vermont did. And what they did is they called it an employer contribution. And it's 0.05% of a payroll tax that is paid by the employer on behalf of their employees and themselves. And that doubled in Vermont the amount of money each program received so that they could pay their people better, be more solvent. And they have seen an exponential increase in a year of the number of providers that exist. The teachers' turnover has gone down. You know, it's so weird how that works, right?
Isn't that odd? And then,
yeah. And then your small businesses, like your farmers or your sole proprietors, they only pay 0.011 because they're not going to be using as much. And so it's far more affordable for them as well. And so we've talked with our partners, Farmers Union, Main Street Alliance, other small business groups, and even some larger businesses, and they've done the math and like, this is super, super cheap and it would do this. And we're like, yes. And it's working in Vermont. So I push back on the idea of employer tax credits and things like that, because you're basically giving money to the businesses to do the right thing and then still not supporting the child care programs and the teachers, because it's replacing money. So yes, it helps the parents a little bit, but not really, because it's not increasing the revenue in any way to meaningfully make change. And so I push back on the tax credits, because why are we putting a middleman in here? Why are we making it only the wealthy and well-connected can access this?
Right.
Because then they're going to get all the spots, and what happens to everybody else? And so we need to build a system from the bottom up that's inclusive of everyone and stop putting in these, you know, bills just to make it look like you're doing something.
Like they're doing something. Exactly.
They're bills that are good for a press conference.
Yeah. And the one thing I do want to say is, and we think we do, we are not against protesting in public. I was at the No Kings protest, last one. But if you are feeling like, what can I do? Go to meetings like this. Mm-hmm. That's something that you can do and get educated about it. So then when you go back to your community, you can explain to other people. It's really important.
And both tonight's event in Madison, tomorrow's event at the Greenfield Public Library, if I'm not mistaken, are going to be in the show notes. And if you can't be at the event tomorrow night, you can submit comments via a link that will be on the show notes as well. So you can still let your voice be heard, even if you can't make it. protesting is great, but also voicing your opinion is necessary in this process.
Call your lawmakers, myvote.wi.gov. They love to hear from you. Corrine Hendrickson with Weekend has been our guest. Thank you so very much, Corrine. Take care. We'll see you soon.
Thanks.
We have news coming up next. We'll come back with a little audio sorbet and lighten things up. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Real news, great conversation, right to your inbox. Subscribe to WCFW's newsletter and never miss the stories right here in the Chippewa Valley.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development is warning residents that their services may stall if the federal government shutdown continues. According to agency officials, about $230 million of the $310 million allocated to the Department of Workforce Development for training and employment services this year comes from the federal government. Without that federal funding, things like career counseling, recruitment and retention programs, and apprenticeships for job seekers could see a reduction in services. As the weather cools down and leaves start to fall from the trees, the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is reminding residents to be wary of fire danger. According to a press release, there have already been over 50 wildfires across the state in the month of October. DNR officials say the dry weather, gusty winds, and the falling leaves are contributing to increased wildfire risk. Residents should check fire danger warnings in their area before conducting outdoor burning activities until some snowfall brings more protection against wildfires. The Boys and Girls Clubs of the Greater Chippewa Valley are calling for support from the community amid a significant decrease in government funding. According to a press release, organization officials say they're facing critical gaps in the resources they typically provide for area families, limiting their ability to give kids a safe place to go after school. They're calling on community members, businesses, and other Chippewa Valley organizations to help out with donations, sponsoring their programs, or just spreading the word about their funding needs. Barron County officials say they're still searching for developers to convert the former Bessie Manufacturing site into a mixed-use commercial and housing development. Officials say they've met with some developers already, but many of them want to continue using the site for industrial purposes. They're also seeking funding from the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources for environmental cleanup. The Rice Lake Plan Commission recommended rezoning the land from industrial to mixed use to the City Council at its meeting on Thursday. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. There is new news on the latest Bob Odenkirk action film. The multi-talented Emmy winner and Better Call Saul star had back-to-back action roles with Nobody and Nobody 2. Headed to the big screen next spring from Magnolia Pictures is Odenkirk's latest action film, Normal, which will drop April 17th of 2026 on over 2,000 screens, which is Magnolia Pictures' largest release ever, according to Deadline.com. I'm 61, and I hope to remain uninterested in AI until I croak. Those are the paraphrased words of director Guillermo del Toro. The director recently appeared on NPR and discussed his new film, Frankenstein. The Oscar winner compared the fascination around AI with the arrogance of Dr. Frankenstein, adding that his issues are not with the actual technology, but by the general stupidity of those who control it. I kind of agree with him, but I still have no idea what was up with The Shape of Water. Frankenstein drops on Netflix November 7th. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabo, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Don't miss any of the stories that impact your life. Catch WCFW's News Roundup in podcast form. Go to WCFW.fm to subscribe.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A cloudy to mostly cloudy sky on tap for your Tuesday afternoon. An east to southeast breeze, highs in the mid-50s. Tonight, there will be some rain chances. Then we'll see clouds around the area, lows in the upper 30s. Those clouds clear out early Wednesday in mid-50s. It's 42 at our studios.
What's going on with Earl Ingram?
The No Kings rallies across this nation, they reminded me of it was an organization called the Tea Party. Senior citizens were a part of the Tea Party. And there are a lot of senior citizens involved in the No Kings rallies.
Listen to the Civic Media exclusive podcast, What's Going On with Earl Ingram?
Find the podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Drivers, Austin Cindric here. As a NASCAR Cup Series driver of the number 2 Discount Tire Ford Mustang, there's a few rules of the road I like to tell my family and friends. Tire pressure is critical to safety because underinflated tires are more likely to fail. Plus, properly inflated tires will give you better gas mileage. Make sure to check your tire pressure at least once a month or stop by a local tire retailer for an air check.
A message from the U.S. Tire Manufacturers Association.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome director of Now More Yes, Max Hay. Then Madison-based film critic Rob Thomas and I talk new movies. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. This is the portion of the show that we call Audio Sorbet, where we take a breath, get away from the news, hopefully have a couple of laughs.
Ha ha! Done.
Better than that. Today is National Chocolate Day, everybody.
I'm convinced this day happens like 30 times a
year. The chocolate lobby is very strong. And so we were talking about milk chocolate versus dark chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
When I was a kid, I loved milk chocolate. That was the only thing. You couldn't get me near dark chocolate.
Can't get enough of milk chocolate.
And now I love dark chocolate, and I wouldn't eat milk chocolate.
Not at all?
Not if I can avoid it.
Okay.
No.
I feel like if you like dark chocolate, which I do, I love dark chocolate, it's almost like you have to seek it out, too, because I think that I'm trying hard. I don't feel like Big Chocolate sponsors the show.
Big Chocolate is yet to be a sponsor of our show.
Although Nestle does own like 95% of the world. I feel like when it's a big label and they say dark chocolate, it's not really dark chocolate. It's still sweet. Because good dark chocolate should have a certain bitterness to it.
It depends upon the amount of
cacao.
Of cacao, yeah.
What are you, like 65%, 72%?
I would say 65 is probably pretty
65
good.
And between 65 and 72. And then after that, you're like, this is Baker's chocolate. Get out of my face.
Yeah, and I did that once as a kid.
My father did that to me once as a child. He thought it was hilarious.
I thought it was I found the greatest thing in my mother's kitchen, and I found that Baker's chocolate, and I thought, I'll show her.
Yeah.
I'm going to get some candy. And I took a big bite out of that Baker's chocolate. That was the one and only time I ever did that. I'll tell you that. So this got us talking about things that we grew to like as adults.
Mm-hmm.
So I loved milk chocolate as a kid.
Yeah.
Now I love dark chocolate. I hated carrots as a kid. And now I like them.
Oh, okay.
But that has to do with prep.
Yeah, I mean,
has to do with prep.
That's another thing we discussed. It's that, you know, when I was young, milk chocolate was the thing. The bird was the word, and I loved milk chocolate. And don't try to give me dark, because I had the same experience you did. It only came from my father, who was a slight prankster. He'd be like, hey, do you want some chocolate? I'm like, of course I am. I'm a 10-year-old, and I'm chubby. Of course I want chocolate. And I chomped down, and I'm like, and it just came. It was like some morsels.
Yes.
Morsels. And they just come dropping out of my face. Because I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, that's Baker's chocolate. I'm like, I don't know what that means.
Yeah, that has no reference for you.
He did the same thing to me with buttermilk. He's like, do you want a glass of milk? I'm like, of course I do. I'm a chubby 10-year-old. Give me milk. Give me chocolate. And I drank the buttermilk. I'm like, oh, what is this? He goes, it's buttermilk. I'm like, you're a terrible person.
Why did you do that to me?
He was a low-key prankster. Didn't get big. But if he saw the moment.
The gleam. You could see the gleam in his eye.
Yeah. And I didn't get prepared. He only did it a few times. And I think he retired. Because then it's like, where does the trust erode completely? But yeah, I mean, definitely when I was young, I don't even know if I was aware of dark chocolate as a thing. Because, you know, that's a more in the past 10 years as far as a
big thing.
A big thing, a big delicacy, thing. A choice. you know, dark chocolate's always been around, but it wasn't marketed the way it is now.
Absolutely. So what did you hate as a kid, but now you love as an adult? 855-752-4842. That is our question today on Audio Sorbet. We can even just talk about chocolate. Milk chocolate versus dark chocolate. Calvin, I'm pretty sure that we know where you're going to come down on the chocolate debate, being our resident young person. What is your what would be your chocolate preference?
Yeah, I'm a milk chocolate all the way. Plain dark chocolate is gross to me. If it's packed with something else, like if it's dark chocolate with like almonds and it's mostly almonds, I don't mind it. But yeah, definitely prefer milk chocolate.
You are a picky eater by your own admission.
Yes.
But what's funny is the how would I put it? The compromises or the, you know, the points of like, I will eat this only if this, this, and this. I will eat
it's food rules.
I will eat a half a pound of lettuce only if it's swimming in ranch. You know, like you have I don't want to say standards.
Yes, rules.
You have rules.
It's got food rules.
You have food. Yeah, exactly. Oh yeah, food rules. We've talked about that many times.
Yes. Okay. We all have them.
But I will say this, and I said this to Calvin earlier, I would love to know your opinion in, say, like 10, 15 years, because I didn't like dark chocolate. I wouldn't prefer it when I was younger. I would always go for milk chocolate. I still enjoy some milk chocolate here or there, but it's like in those small pieces, small bites. I'm not just like going to, you know,
eat a
mow down
big
on
a big bar of chocolate.
It's going to be more like, it's kind of like what you're talking about, Calvin. Like we, for a while, would have the take five candy bar. They have them in bite sizes now, and we would have them around the house, and perfect, that's done.
Little snack, sweet and salty,
but I couldn't do, if you handed me a Hershey's bar right now, I'd be like, I can't.
Yeah.
You want to share this?
I'm the same way. Yeah. I wouldn't, not going to do a Hershey's bar. What food did you hate as a kid, but now you love it as an adult? That's our Audio Sorbet today, 855-752-4842. We have PJ on the live stream. Tomatoes. I would get throw up sick from tomatoes as a kid. Now I eat tomato, no problem.
Yeah.
I love tomatoes.
I came to a bunch of food when I tried vegetarianism a long time ago because I was not a vegetable eater. And at the time, there wasn't a lot of options for vegetarians. So it was like, well, I better try some things. And tomatoes, I love tomatoes. Especially popping a cherry tomato. Oh, my goodness gracious. Get in my life. I love them.
Right now.
Right now.
Join me right now.
Bring these.
Oh, we got lots of texts coming in. Jack from Merrimack says, most of the best things I've learned in life, I've learned from women I've been in a relationship with. As a kid, I didn't like salads of any kind. My first love taught me to love them, which I still do to this day.
Now, I just imagine them sitting at a dinner table together and...
Just eating salad?
Well, no, her like, Jack, try this salad.
Have a piece of lettuce.
Have you ever tried Thousand Island dressing? In my head, she's French. I love a vinaigrette.
855-752-4842. What did you hate as a kid and now you love as an adult?
Yeah.
Brett from Brown Deer, documentaries.
Mm-hmm.
They were not very good when I was a kid. I hated them. I thought they were boring. Now I'm hooked.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that.
I love documentaries.
Sarah in Green Bay, listening on WISS, ham salad sandwich spread.
Those are...
No. I love that. With Fritos. The Frito scoops?
No, thank you.
Well, Sarah, try the ham salad sandwich spread with Frito scoops. It'll blow your mind.
Anything with Frito scoops. I mean, I make a killer chili dip that is designed for the Frito scoops. What is ham salad sandwich spread?
It's essentially chopped up ham.
Yeah.
With sweet pickles. Oh, God, that's going to send him off.
Well, folks, it's been fun. I quit.
A little sweet pickle and probably a little mayo.
Okay.
It's really good. It looks revolting.
That just sounds like it sounds like a different version of a tuna sandwich, essentially. Minus the demonic sweet pickles. Throw some dill pickles in there. Chop up some dill pickles. I'm down. No. Absolutely.
Then it's not even
ham. What are you talking about?
855. We're just going to ignore him. 855-752-4842. What did you hate as a kid and now you love as an adult? Chris Alfheim, listening in Appleton on WISS. No, as a kid, yes, as an adult, oysters and Braunschweiger.
Yeah.
Not together, obviously.
Oysters, I've tried a couple times.
And have you?
It's just like swallowing a small tongue. And Braunschweiger, honestly, that was something I loved as a kid. And now if you put it in front of me, you're like, hard pass.
I just bought some.
Great.
My father would have that on Sunday mornings.
Yeah.
He would have a piece of toast with just a slice of Braunschweiger on it with butter.
Oh.
Because that's really good for your heart. let me just slather on some mayonnaise. I'll just take a bath in mayonnaise right away. But yes, I do love Braunschweiger. Mm-hmm. Can't do oysters.
No,
can't do it.
Oysters, clams, the whole, like anything, the mussels, all that stuff is just
the
never
mollusks.
Never been my jam. I've never tried snails or that stuff, but yeah, it's, I can't say I don't like it, but mussels and oysters and clams, I don't know how those are all different. They are, they're just not my jam.
What food did you hate as a kid that now you love as an adult? Mm-hmm. 855-752-4842. Casper in Madison listening on WAUK. Brussels sprouts. Mostly because my parents boiled them.
Yes.
That's a whole another discussion we're going to have about boiling food. I think that was a 1950s
yes.
thing.
Parents of America who grew up in the 40s and 50s and then raised us in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, why did you hate us?
Why did you boil everything?
Oh, my God.
My mother used to, we had boiled potatoes and boiled carrots, which I hated.
Did you ever look at boiled chicken? It's the only food that looks depressed after you're done doing it. It's so, like, it's a weird color.
Back to Brussels sprouts with Casper. You got to cut them in half, season them. Toss them in olive oil, baked sprouts at 400 in the oven for 20 minutes. Now I love them.
Yeah. Well, no, and that's the thing. Brussels sprouts is one of those borderline foods for me. If you just hand me some Brussels sprouts, I'm not going to do it. If they're boiled, get out of my life. If they're pickled in a Bloody Mary, I will definitely take them. But this, I feel like in the past 5 years, the cuisine of baked or air-fried Brussels sprouts with a spice or a sauce.
Yeah, they become a thing.
They become, that crunchiness is absolutely delicious. But yeah, just hand me a Brussels sprout. I'm like, great,
throw this at someone?
Yeah, exactly.
Will this harm someone? Yeah. Audio sorbet today, we're talking about something you hated as a kid, and now you love it as an adult. Harry texting in says mushrooms.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know. I don't think I would eat mushrooms as a kid either. They looked weird.
Well, really quick, Brett and Brown Deer, it could be food. It could be anything. Don't worry. That was a doctor.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
This isn't just food, but we're talking about food because us.
That's where it started.
Mushrooms, for me, it was another thing. And Calvin, let me, your thoughts on this. Like, I feel like I cannot identify with what you're saying as far as like the I don't want to say contingency, but I'm not thinking of the word right now, but like how I will eat something as a kid. I would
eat. You have conditions.
Conditions. I would eat mushrooms, specifically canned mushrooms on pizza, but I wouldn't eat mushrooms anywhere else on anything else as a kid. Now, mushrooms, I will use it to dip. Like I'll chop up mushrooms like nice
raw mushrooms.
Use it with hummus, throw it in. Like I, for a while, was doing a lot of like ramen noodles. So I would just take mushrooms and I would throw them in, let them do their thing, and then throw the noodles in and make this wonderful broth. Yeah, I love mushrooms. I'm great for
big mushroom, obviously. Funding Greg Bach over here. 855-752-4842. Tony on the live stream says air fry everything.
It's the greatest invention in the kitchen ever. I mean,
yeah, just air fry it.
Air frying
that fixes a lot of stuff.
Ahi tuna steaks, it's a total of 6 minutes to make them in the air fryer, and they're perfect and delicious. I'm going to air fry when I get home. I can't wait. Cannot wait.
Look at that. And Tony says, too, as a kid, I hated onions. Now I put them in lots of stuff. Yeah. I think that's a pretty bit. Yeah, kids don't like it. Again, your palate
exactly
changes.
Well, and that's the thing, too, is like when you introduce it slow. Like I remember as a kid, I'm like, well, I like onions on a McDonald's cheeseburger because they're chopped up in little pieces, and that flavor gets to you versus maybe if you go to a place and it's chopped thick and you're like, oh, this is all
onion. This is way too much.
Yeah.
All right. When we return, we're to wrap up the show with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the Dirty Dancing Halloween edition. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey
as Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Businesses across the state counting on $1.5 billion in federal funding are finding out it's not coming. The money had been approved to help pay for energy-saving projects, solar and wind development, technology innovation, and more. The Department of Energy is now reportedly canceling those awards. One group that is getting a boost in federal funding, AI data center developers. The new federal budget lets tech companies claim more upfront tax breaks on data center equipment, facilities, and production lines. And it appears to be working. Microsoft recently announced what it calls the world's most powerful AI data center planned for Mount Pleasant. But environmental groups warn unfettered AI development could cause lasting harm to our natural resources. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's most pressing environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
My name's John Driscoll, proud member of the Patriotic Millionaires. When I was CEO at CareCentrix, I doubled entry-level wages. The impact? Productivity went up, turnover went down, and the company was successful. When employees are off the clock, they're real consumers, the consumers that drive the economy with their spending. By paying employees a fair wage, we're actually helping out all of us in giving our economy the best chance to succeed. I'm John Driscoll, I'm a Patriotic Millionaire, and I approve this message.
This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Cam Stevenson.
I don't think we've seen destruction at the White House like that since 1812.
The only people working hard in Washington, D.C. right now are the demolition workers tearing down the east facade of the White House. Let's bring in a whole demolition crew, Cam. That was, right. The metaphor of the year.
It's very symbolic to see the symbol of power in the United States demolished.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Nobody had to tell your grandparents not to drive while using their typewriters. Why should it be any different for us kids and our cell phones? Distracted driving was the cause of more than 3,000 deaths in 2022. Come on, we're smarter than this. Let's put down the phones and focus on the roads. Drive safe, everybody.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. I just want to share one more text that came in before the break. We were talking about what you hated as a kid and now you love as an adult for Audio Sorbet. Robert in La Crosse, listening on WLCX, says, I avoided root vegetables. Now I like them. Side note, hated cheese and milk, and I still do.
Interesting.
I must say no cheese in or on anything when I order in any and every type of restaurant in Wisconsin. Robert, that's...
So you eat nowhere.
That's it, right? We're in Wisconsin. We put cheese on everything.
Welcome to Cheesy Cheeses. Wait, what?
Yeah, well, good luck. I'm sure it's challenging.
Yeah, it's... But thank you for getting in touch with us.
Absolutely.
And Andrew from Maine, yes, nap time qualifies for the topic again. You may have hated it. That's the thing, is kids hated nap time.
When you're a kid, now as an adult.
You tell people when you take a nap.
I'm going to take a nap. Yeah. Aren't we excited? Coming up on the show tomorrow, in hour number one, Amy Barilow is going to join us from Clean, Wisconsin. We will be talking about water, I have a feeling.
We'll be talking about data centers.
And data centers, yes. And their thirst for Wisconsin's waters.
Mm-hmm. And there will be fantastic examples in that discussion about how the regular citizens of those municipalities stand up and make their voices heard, too, because we've seen those coming through in the past few weeks when it comes to data centers.
Absolutely. And I just saw an article this morning that said a lot more people are looking into this, which is a good thing.
Yes.
That's a very good thing. So that's coming up on the show tomorrow. I hope you can join us. It is 10:54, Kelvin. That means it's time for...
This shouldn't be a thing.
If you ever stumble over a thing you think should not be, send it into Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. JaneSays, janesays@civicmedia.us. We are doing Halloween-themed tisbets this week. This is from Alaska News. Lucky nobody's got the byline. This is from CNN, actually. So this was reprinted.
Jake Tapper has the byline.
Reprinted by Alaska News. Headline reads, neighbors upset over Halloween display featuring skeletons in suggestive poses. Some neighbors in Mineola, Florida, upset over a Halloween display that features skeletons holding cigars, one on a stripper pole. A neighbor who complained says it's not your typical spooky decor. One person who lives across the street says, I don't see anything wrong with this. I have two kids. They laugh when they see skeletons dancing. This is not a problem for us. Others are not quite so happy. I don't see stripping as art, whether it's skeletons or cartoons. I don't want my kids exposed to sexual innuendos. We will include a link to this article so you can look at the picture.
There's a video, too.
There is also a video.
Yeah.
It's a skeleton and a pole with a leg up. Maybe, they do use poles for exercise classes.
And also, you know what? You don't think pole dancing is an art. That's whatever. That's your opinion. That's absolutely fine. But people do it as exercise. They do it as entertainment. They do it that has nothing to do with taking your clothes off. And also, when you watch the video, if your kids are walking past it, my guess is they're barely going to notice it because it's not like on the lawn. It's on the porch. It's white bone skeletons against a white house. It's actually when they showed them, it can barely see it. The only way they're really going to be mindful of it is if you get upset and say, look at that terrible
thing. That's disgusting.
Just live your life and move on. The complainer is the thing that shouldn't be a bee.
A resident contacted the homeowners association.
Oh no.
But amazingly, the HOA said they can't do anything because residents can put up any holiday decor that they prefer. They advise the offended neighbor, just wait till Halloween is over because then it's going to go away.
Well, and also now I would love to see if there's a follow-up story for next year as far as the HOA board elections and whatnot.
And who's been kicked off the HOA?
HOAs wield a lot of power, and when they don't have power, they make sure that the next time around they get that power. And it's about keeping this complainer in Alaska quiet when really just have some fun and just unclutch the pearls and live your life. Who cares?
There's a whole bunch of things going on in our country that I find worth getting upset about.
Jenny on the live stream says, children are more oblivious and resilient than you give them credit for. Relax, y'all. Exactly. Yeah.
Take a breath, y'all.
Yeah. Take a breath, y'all.
Take a breath. And it'll be over soon.
Before you know it, I'm going to say by next week.
I would say by Saturday.
Saturday it could be down, and then it's just nothing there. Unless it's like suggestive pilgrims.
Now I have a new idea. That wraps up today's episode of...
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Suggestive pilgrims. I'm just trying to figure out what that would even be. Thank you, Greg and Kelvin and all of our engineers and everyone at Civic Media. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and texting and listening and watching on the stream. It genuinely means the world. I hope you find some joy today and you get the chance to share it. Keep it right here. We have news coming up next, followed by Tom Hartman, Todd, Alba, Maggie, Dawn, Peach, Schwabba, Robert, Pilot, and so much more.
Don't go anywhere.
Just keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. And we'll see you tomorrow. Have a great day.
Listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Hurricane Melissa zeroes in on Jamaica, a slow-moving Category 5 storm with top sustained winds of 185 miles an hour. Dawn Harper Nelson is visiting there on a business trip.
Earlier in the week, the Jamaicans, they are so cool, calm, and collected. But as it kind of got closer to last night, things kind of got heated and got turned up and everyone was nervous.
New U.S. military action in the Pacific Ocean.
We heard from Secretary Hegseth, and, you know, he had said that this is going to be a daily occurrence. He said three strikes, four vessels, two of them were hit with one strike.
CBS's Charlie Daggett says the targets were alleged drug boats, 14 dead, one survivor. President Trump's in Tokyo signing a trade deal with Japan.
America's once again a manufacturing nation, and something that we haven't talked about for a long time. Japan has been with us all the way.
From back in the U.S., his attorneys have appealed his hush money conviction. CBS News Brief. I'm Steve Kathan.